This young man backing me up on the bass, he's a fine bass player. He also plays a mandolin and guitar. He does a good job on all of them. He's well acquainted with all types of music, bluegrass, country music, or classical. He fits right in there. Make welcome Mr. Tom Graham. Graham. Well, I'd hate to tell you what people call me sometimes. It ain't very good. I once got married to a young girl when I was a young fella playing the fiddle, and so she got mad with me one day because she didn't like the fiddle. She told me, says, either that fiddle's got to go or I go. I still got my fiddle.
Tom? I'd like to introduce Richard Seaman to you. He's 84 years young. I told everybody yesterday it was his birthday, but it wasn't, so I have to correct that. Anyhow, he's 84 years young. This black fiddle he's playing was destroyed in the hurricane of 1926 in Miami. It got wet and came apart, and he kept it in a shoebox for, about 35 years? And here a few years back, he put the entire thing back together and put a nice black paint job on it. So this fiddle has quite a history, and we're glad to be playing with him today. I've only known him about 3 months, but it's been a real privilege. He's an inspiration to us. So we're going to ask him to do, you want to feel like doing a little Down Yonder in G for us?
It's like making love to an old maid. You can't overdo it.
Mr. Seaman, he's got a little secret. He doesn't like to talk about it, but he's a newlywed. Hadn't been married too long. His wife, Annie, sitting right back here with my wife. She's the good-looking one. Mr. Seaman wrote a little song just specially for her. We'll slow down and do a waltz for you now. It's called Annie's Waltz.
Thank you. Richard, while the call breath time, what's your name again? Goose Callbreath comes up. Why don't we get Richard to tell us one of his tall tales?
All right. We're going to tell him a tall tale.
I don't know what he picks on me. I'm a truthful kind of a fella. I was born and raised down in below Orlando. I mean, Kissimmee. That's below Orlando way. I was raised on a farm. After I left home, I'd go back to the old farm once in a while and visit my folks. And I went down there one day. Everybody was upset. I asked what was the trouble. She said, "You know, that old abandoned well down at the other end of the field." I said, "Yeah, I remember that old well." My sister said, "My prize milk cow fell in it. We can't get her out." So I went down there and looked. I told her, I said, "I don't think there's no trouble. I think I can get that cow out for you." So I went and got a ladder and come down the well. There's just a big old open hole, you know. And I talked to the old cow, soothed her up a little bit. I sat down and started milking. Believe it or not, I milked and I kept right on milking. I went by, I was still milking. And I kept on, you know, I floated that old cow right out of that well. There was no trouble to it at all.
Glad to see me. Now we have the Callbreath family, led by Goose Callbreath on the fiddle. Their family's been playing music in Florida for many, many years, a couple of generations. Let's welcome Goose Callbreath.
Well, I was born up in Hamilton County, and we moved down to Prick Island of Bradenton when I was about four and a half years old. My dad was a farmer. And when the 21 storm come along, it ruined everything he had in his field. So we moved over to Cortez, and I've been a commercial fisherman ever since. I was raised up as a commercial fisherman. So that's what I've been doing down there is commercial fishing, and every now and then we play a little bit of fiddle. I'm going to try a little bit of the Orange Blossom Special for you. Let's see, I think I'll be surprised for you.
Heard a lot of old-time fiddling. That was a little bluegrass fiddling. Tricky stuff. And Mr. Guth Callbreath learned from his dad some, too, and he knows a lot of old times tunes also.
Well, let's see. I'll do a little bit of Ragtime Annie for you.
Let's ask Richard Seaman to come back up here, and we can all have a seat here, and we'll start the workshop session.
Something. I'm 85 years old and I've never played a fiddle sitting down in my life. I guess I'll try.
Well, when you like to stand up when you
just a bit too. When I was growing up, I had to lay the fiddle down this way. I couldn't put it up there. But don't get any higher than right here. Okay, let's go.
Before you play one, Troy, can you hear him, Troy?
What?
Can you hear me over there?
He said, can you hear him?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, I can hear you.
We're going to get him a hearing aid.
Say you're 85 years old?
Yes, sir.
When did you start playing that fiddle?
He's 87.
87.
You folks
got
me.
How old he is.
You folks got me rattled. Yes, I made it 7 years old, and my father played the fiddle left-handed, and he started me on it when I was five. And I had to hold it down this way, just like I showed you a while ago. Some way in here. I don't know how it was. And my arm got longer. I kept moving it up. I got it to right there, and I stopped. The first... You want me to go ahead?
Go on.
First job I got was at a high school commencement. I got a bag of apples. I was 7 years old. From then on, I got the idea of making my living and making a fiddle. When I got up to 12, when I could really play with the best of them, I played for square dances. I got $50 a night. We didn't have any guitars, just a banjo and a fiddle. We split that $50. And you know what that $50 meant back in 1914, 15? It was real money. Boy, I was getting rich. And I kept right on, and I've been a player everywhere I play. I get paid. My wife and I worked for the Tampa Arts Council down in Tampa for three or four years. They paid us $50 for 30 minutes. They'd come pick us up, they'd give us lunch, and we played all through all the high schools in down Tampa. We played at the Curtin-Hixie Hall, and we played at the State Fair, we played at the Strawberry Festival, so forth and so on. So that's enough, isn't it?
How about you, Lucy? When did you meet up with this guy?
I was born in Thomasville, Georgia, the City of Roses. And when I was a little girl, my mother and father decided I should learn to play the piano. So I had a music teacher that all she believed in was scale. She wouldn't let me learn to play, so after 8 months, I got disgusted and quit. So when I learned to chord, Troy had retired, and he said, I wish you could learn to chord on the piano so that you could play with me. So we went to West Virginia to see my sister, who has three daughters who play all kind of music. And one of them says, Aunt Lucy, you can learn to chord. And I said, oh, no way, not at 60 years old. And she said, I'm going to teach you the chords, and you're going to learn to play. And I said, well, we'll try it. So we came back home, and we stayed up till 1 or 2 o'clock because he doesn't know any music. He just plays entirely by ear. And I didn't know where he was. And I'd have to sound on the piano to try to find out where he was. And I wrote down the chords as I would get them. And that's how I learned to play. But we enjoy playing. And it's something, our children think we're a little bit crazy to go off by ourselves like this. I'm 80 years old.
I might add a little bit more. I had a radio program in Asheville, North Carolina, and 24 and 5 before the Nashville, Tennessee really opened up with 50,000 votes. I had an opportunity to go down there and help that get going. Well, I turned it down on account of her. I wanted to get married, and she did too. So we got married in 1927. I didn't go to Nashville. Roy kept, went on down there and made millions of dollars with his fiddle when I could do the same thing. Thank you.
So, Lucy, if you're 80 years old, you've only been playing piano with him for a mere 20 years.
Yeah.
Richard, you say you played for a while, then your fiddle got ruined.
Well, I started playing the fiddle when I was about, trying to play.
Can you hear him out there?
When I was around 10 years old. This old fiddle was in the house that was just hanging up on the wall. Had a shoestring around here to on a nail. It hung there for years, and about the only music we had in those days was a harmonica, a fiddle, or maybe somebody had an old banjo, and we didn't have any radios then. We had no televisions, and we didn't even have electric lights out there. So we were, I guess you'd call it primitive, and if we had an amusement, we had to make it. About the only amusements we had was having a square dance or a picnic. Some of the neighbors that lived around would get together, and we'd have square dance, and I heard some of them old fiddlers play, and it sounded pretty good to me, and I wanted to learn, so I got this old fiddle and started. And every time I'd learn a new tune, or I'd try to practice it on that and remember it. And first thing you know, I was playing for some dances too. And it's along like that, and we didn't have any money much. We all lived on a farm, and we raised what we eat, you know. And it was done the best we could with clothes. We had plenty to eat, but we didn't have nothing to wear, or fit to wear. It was just patch and patch on top of patches until you finally found somebody else that outgrown something that you could wear. But anyhow, that's more true to that than fiction. Anyhow, as the time went on, I learned a little, play a little better, and finally, when the WJAX radio station was first coming to Jacksonville here, I think it was in the 30s, somewhere along in there, I played on that once a week. We called ourselves the Melody Makers, and we had every Saturday we had a 30-minute program of old-time fiddle music. That's about all I ever learned. And so that went along for a while. And I got married, and we had two children. And they both played, and we had a band of our own. And we had a very happy life at the time. And then I lost both of my children. And that left me alone to play. And I put the fiddle up for, I don't know, I guess 25 or 30 years elapsed there. And just recently, this Piccolo friend of mine heard that I used to play, and he come around and prodded me into it again. And then I had to relearn a lot of things I had forgotten. So him and I got to playing around, and so that's leads it about up to now. And a lot of stuff I used to learn I'd forgot, but I try to learn a few of the old tunes that I did know. And Mr. Graham and Mr. Picklow, why, they go around with me and keep me straight. And we get by. We don't do anything too great.
So it wasn't until these guys started asking you about your fiddling that you picked it up again after a lapse of about 30 years.
Almost 30 years, yeah. Uh-huh. I had forgot. Almost forgot how to the strings was all gone, and mm-hmm. had to get another bow and start all over again. Of course, you never really forget, and yet you do too. You got to practice on some things that you used to know. You know, they get so rusty, and my fingers are not what they used to be. So I do the best I can.
I don't want to ask all the questions, and if anybody out there wants to talk to these people about something, just stand up, raise your hand, and have at it. I see a few fiddles out there, but not a whole lot. So if you have any questions about where they learn, how they learn, and what kind of advice they can give you, they've probably been doing it longer than most of us, so please feel free to ask.
That sort of happened to Troy. We have four children, and during the time we were rearing them, he was having to work, and he didn't have time to play the fiddle. He just had it, he just stayed in the house. It didn't play. By the way, our oldest son works for Tropicana Orange Juice Company. He buys all the fruit for Tropicana. So drink Tropicana Orange Juice.
They finally got the kind with pulp in it, you know, so they're doing all right.
I never did forget my fiddle, though. I love it.
Goose, I know your father played fiddle too. James Callbreath, I guess.
That's right. He played all up in this part of the country, and he played in all these fiddler contests back there in the 1890s and long in there. He was born in 1872, and he played all over this part of the country. And he won most all of them. He lost a few, but he won most of them. I never did get his technique of playing a fiddle, but different style was coming in, like Curly Fox and them was playing, so I picked up what I could hear when I could hear the radio. Mm-hmm. Back then, we had the old Antwater Kent radios, and I lived out that Cortez, and they didn't have no lights out there. They had kerosene lamps to see by, and you get that old, when WSM would come in, I guess that's what they call it. Anyway, it was from Nashville. We'd come in on that old radio, and it'd just be a blaring out, you know, something I wanted to hear Curly Fox was doing. I think it's Black Mountain Rag or something. And
it would be just a go into it, and all of a sudden it just fade out like you took it out of the room, you know. And way along, by the time when it come back in there, he'd just be finishing up. So that's why I learned how to play damn tunes. I'd catch him each time it'd come on, and I'd listen to it. We didn't have tape recorders and nothing like that. We had old record players, 75, I believe what they call them. We had them, and we had a record there, the Skillet Lickers, I think it was. I can't remember. Riley Puckett was on it. Yeah. I went to the museum here a couple of weeks ago and went through there, and I seen their names on the plaque there. The one that put that, they call themselves the Skillet Lickers. And I got to see that, and I was really amazed to know, you know, that back that far that they had that up there, too. And I've been playing around for quite a long time. I was like him. I stayed away from the fiddle for about 25, 28 years, and they come down to Cortez. They heard I play the fiddle, see, and they come down there looking for somebody at Commercial Fish to come up here and participate in this. I said, well, I'll have to learn how to play all over again because I'd lost my arm for playing a fiddle. I played a six-string bass for the Beachcombers out of Ruskin there for, I reckon, for 20, well, about 27, 28 years. Around Sun City and Showman, International Showman's Club and all them different places, but all I played was the bass behind them. Didn't have no use for the fiddle, so that's the way I did. Anyhow, back when I was playing the fiddle, before I started playing the bass, we was playing out to what they call the Doris M at that time. Now they call it the Village Barn out of Brandon, and going south towards Sarasota. And we was playing every Friday and Saturday night down for the square dances. I took this old boy fishing with me. He was a line-of-top operator. I took him fishing with me, and he says, I told him, I says, Frank, I says, I believe I'm getting better on that fiddle. He kind of chuckled. Said, oh, damn well, y'all. Says, you can't get no worse. So it kind of embarrassed me, you know. I thought I was doing real good until then.
Some friend. Now, you said you lost your arm. I hear fiddlers talking about their right arm being
That is the main thing of playing the fiddle is your arm. If you haven't got the arm for it, you're in trouble.
That's your right arm. You get that right arm going.
If you get it to going right, this guy, everything's got to come in there right.
Mm-hmm.
If you get out of rhythm with it, then you got to get back in. He knows that well.
Yes, sir. This hand's got to know what this one's
That's
doing.
That's right. That's right.
If one ain't paying attention to the other, you mess it up.
You got to get the swing of it. Mm-hmm. Swing of it.
And show another us thing, we don't watch our fingers. Our brain tells us where to put them.
That's right.
Right up there. Well, I don't even pay attention to what I'm doing up there. My brain does.
That's right. That is right. You get the tune in your mind. That's the way I learned how to play one. If I could figure out the tune, I could play it because I'd put it on there somewhere. And you got to find out the chord you can play it in. Some tunes are easy played in some chord, and some are easier played in other chord.
Mm-hmm.
And B flat, you can just leave me away from that.
I like that. I think everybody probably gets a little bit different bowing style.
They
you
do.
Know, it's and it affects.
Last year, I caught it on the piano with them. We never had played together, and we played Soldier's Joy, and it turned out pretty good. We never had practiced it.
I like you all to play at different times the same piece. Maybe we can. Maybe Soldier's Joy or Raggedy Ann would be a good one.
Let him start off with Soldier's Joy. There. He played his Soldier's Joy. You play your style, and I'll come in and play what I play.
Yeah. Well, maybe we better get tuned up with each other.
I'll jive mine up a little bit.
This mic right. Yeah.